It's Pastor Adam's Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday, October 29th. I think it's the 29th at least. And tonight, I'll be at the Monk's Corner Halloween Festival. But I actually like to call that Popcorn Palooza, because here at Point North Church, we have a little booth down there and we give out so much popcorn, like an obscene amount of popcorn. And we'll end up having like a 2-block long line just waiting for our popcorn. And I don't know what it is about this popcorn, but people go nuts over it. They love it, right? And as a quick side note, the people of Monk's Corner, just so you know, have a salt problem. We salt the popcorn as, you know, it's made, whatever like that, a little butter, a little salt on it, right? But then the majority of people that are there that get their bag of popcorn, they grab, because we have salt shakers out, whatever, and they, as my daughter would say, go hog wild with the salt. Like, they dump this. I'm in disbelief most of the time of how much salt people are putting on their popcorn. It's insane. I'm like, I think you need to go to a doctor, because it's crazy. Like, they can only taste salt. So, yeah. So we have that going on tonight. Hopefully it doesn't rain. It's not looking great out there today, but it doesn't look ideal. But if it rains, it's not going to be fun. But then I was thinking about this whole October that we're almost through, right? And I was thinking this October has quite a few firsts for me. For instance, this will be my first Halloween where I don't go trick-or-treating with either of my girls. For the past 19 years, we've gone out trick-or-treating in some fashion, you know, like either we're carting them around in a stroller, dressed up, looking cute, you know, all that, to the traditional walking around trick-or-treating type of thing. My oldest daughter is in the Dominican Republic on a mission trip, and she's too old. She'd probably still want to go, but, you know. And Lola just really has no interest in walking, to be honest with you, trick-or-treating. She's not that into it. So, and we're going to be in Chicago, in the Chicago area over Halloween. So it's just, yeah. So it's weird. It's first, like, it's like, feels weird, right? And the second first for me is, this one's kind of sad. It's rough. But, and just for reference for you, I've been off the sugar now for like a little over a month. So that means this is my first Halloween, or my first October, I should say, without candy corn. And that's rough, because I like me some candy corn. It's candy and vegetables together. It combined, right? It's so good. Candy corn is delicious, and I know that's a divisive topic, but I'm here to tell you, it is so good. But, and usually there's a couple people in the church that bring me like a pound each. Like, so I have so much candy corn, but not this year. Not even a nibble, not even a taste. And I'm not gonna. I'm gonna stay strong. And I'm gonna fight the good fight and not have any sugar, right? But then, yet another first for me that's also happened in October is I went to my first revival. You probably weren't expecting that, right? So let me start with a little background to this, right? I have a friend here named Danielle, and she's not only a friend, but she also volunteers in the video room for me at church. And by the way, Danielle is awesome. I love Danielle. She's like 15, 20 years younger than me or whatever, but she is so cool. And I told this to my wife. I'm like, if me and Danielle went to high school together, like we were the same age, we'd have been best friends. Like, seriously, I just know it. Because we, you know, she's funny. Like, we just, it's good time. We love each other, right? Anyway, she's been inviting me and the family to this revival for a few years now. And this year, I was finally able to go. I made it happen. Lauren and Lola, not so much. But I was like, I'm going. This is going to happen. And by the way, I didn't know what the revival was going to be like, but in my head, I had an idea of what it means to go to a revival, right? Like, I'm thinking there's like a giant tent, and then like people go a little nuts, right? Would it have been cool to be there and then suddenly there's a big crate that they busted out and they pull out snakes and pass them around? Yeah, that would have been cool. Would it have been fun to see people running around, dancing, losing all control? Of course, you know, that would have been a great time. Would it have been fun to see, you know, some preacher just giving a pure hell and brimstone, fire and brimstone sermon? Yeah, you know that would have been, but none of that happened, right? But what did happen to me was I found something very meaningful, right? So this was like a Methodist, this started in the Methodist church. It was about a bunch of Methodist churches that came together, whatever. But so it's not really even my denomination, but it was very meaningful. So let me tell you the coolest thing about this, attending this revival in Ridgeville, South Carolina this past weekend. The coolest part is this revival has been going on since 1794. I mean, just think about that for a moment. That's over 230 years of faithful gathering. Every year, without fail, people have come together under these trees and tents, even though they're cabins now that they still call tents for some reason. I was like, why is this called a tent? Because they said, we're in tent 33. So I pull around and there's cabins everywhere. And I'm like, that's not a tent. And they're like, yeah, but we call it a tent. Anyways, and then we all gather in this tabernacle to worship God and hear his word, right? So what I came to realize as I was there experiencing this is how remarkable it is that no storm, no sickness, no hardship, no disaster has ever stopped it from happening. I mean, we're talking the Great Depression, Hurricane Hugo, no tornadoes, not even pandemics or war. Nothing has stopped this revival. Every single year, the revival continues. So literally, as I stood there, surrounded by believers and we're singing hymns under the Carolina sky in this tabernacle, I couldn't help but think of Jesus' words in Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I shared that as we were there, as we were walking back to the cabin tent thing, I was like, man. And so I shared that real quick, right? But let's read that whole verse. So Matthew 16:18. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So the first thing I want to point out, you know, after reading that scripture is this. The church is built on Christ, not on man. So when Jesus spoke those words to Peter, you know, on this rock I'll build this church because Peter, which means rock, right? He's not saying this church is built on man. You, Peter, it's all on you. If something happens and this all goes down the tubes, it's your fault. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying that he would build the church on Peter's confession that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. So in order to know that, we got to read a few verses before Matthew 16:18. So we're going to read 13 through 16. So when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, what do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then he asked them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So the church as a foundation isn't a person or a denomination or a preacher or any sort of building. It's Jesus himself. And then Paul echoes this in 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. And that's why the church still stands. Empires have risen and fallen. Leaders have come and gone. Cultures have changed. We know that. But the church, you know, the body of Christ, it remains because its foundation is unshakable. The Ridgeville revival that I was at stands as like a living example of that. People have changed. Pastors have changed. Even the buildings have changed. But the Spirit of God has not. But what's so amazing is if we're honest, the church hasn't always looked good, right? Like, there's been some things. There's been controversies, scandals, divisions, a lot of people behaving badly, right? I know we all have a pretty good idea what I'm talking about. When the church is in the news, it's usually not for good things, right? And I'm talking not one specific church. I'm talking about Big C Church all over the world, right? There's been some things that have, you know, made the church look bad from time to time. But even when humanity has stumbled, which we know has happened quite a few times over the years, God's truth has always stood firm. Now, we know the church is not perfect, but we also know that it's protected. So to be clear, Jesus never said the gates of hell wouldn't attack. No, he didn't say that. But what he did say is they would prevail. So Isaiah 54:17 reminds us, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The devil has tried to destroy the church from the outside through persecution, from the inside through various sins of people and leaders and all that. But still, through all that, the light shines, even in the darkest times. In Acts 12, King Herod tried to destroy the early church. He imprisoned Peter and killed James. But while Peter was in jail, the church prayed and God sent an angel to set him free. So you see, persecution couldn't stop it then. And the various problems of this world today, it also won't stop it. And that revival is proof of God's promise. That's what made the, you know, the Ridgeville revival so powerful to me. It's not just a meeting or a church service or some gathering for fellowship. You know, it was a actual testimony. For over two centuries, that gathering has declared year after year, the gates of hell will not prevail. Through war, famine, storms, sickness, God has kept his people together. When Hurricane Hugo hit in 1989, churches across Carolina were torn apart physically, but not spiritually. They rebuilt, they prayed, they sang, they gathered. That's revival, not just an event, but a resilience. That's a resilience that comes from the Spirit of God. Hebrews 12:28 says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with our holy fear and awe. The world shakes. Nations shake. But God's kingdom does not. If Jesus promised that the church will stand, then we, as his people, must stand with it. The Ridgeville Revival isn't just a celebration of endurance. I look at it as like a challenge to all of us. Will we keep the fire burning? Will we stay faithful even when the world drifts away? Paul says in Galatians 6:9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We're called to keep gathering, keep praying, keep believing, but not because it's easy, because we know often it's not, but we do it because it's eternal. And I know we rarely think about this, but Jesus is still building his church today. Every time someone comes to faith, Jesus is still building his church. Every baptism, every prayer meeting, every revival, it's another brick in that living temple. 1 Peter 2:5 says, and you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. That means you and I, we're part of that promise. The church isn't a place we go, it's who we are. We are the living proof that Jesus' words are true. When I stood in Ridgeville, you know, surrounded by believers who had come from all over, I felt like I was standing on holy ground. Not because the dirt beneath my feet was any different, but because of the faith that's been planted there for generations. And it reminds me, storms may come, people may fail, but Jesus never does. And the revival continues, the gospel continues, and the church continues because Christ is the builder. Hell cannot stop his work. So today, you know, Wednesday, October 29th, as we remember Matthew 16:18, let's recommit ourselves to the church that Jesus is building. Let's be faithful to pray, to worship, to gather, to pass that fire to the next generation until the day that Jesus returns. Because that same power that's kept Ridgeville's revival going for 230 years is the same power that keeps the church alive today. And I think that's pretty important and something that we need to remember all the time. So that's the Devo of the day. And somehow I'm ahead of the game for next week because I already have my Devo outlined for next week for the most part. And I was thinking since I'm going to be out of town through next Monday, I was like, maybe I'm not going to get enough time to put one together. But turns out I got it. No fear. We're going to be here next Wednesday to do this. I was actually going to use that outline for today until, you know, I had reflected on the experience that I had last Saturday at that revival, which was pretty cool, you know. So anyways, per usual, if you found this to be interesting or beneficial in any way, please share this with friends and family and coworkers and neighbors and anybody you think could benefit from hearing this today, you know. And please subscribe and like and comment and do all those things, right? So you have a good one. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you next Wednesday.